We human beings develop patterns of relating. And we develop patterns of relating not only in our own individual lives, but we develop patterns of relating in our family, and we develop patterns of relating in our society and in our culture. And we call these patterns of relating relational systems, or just systems for short. And when we develop systems, especially at the level of a large group of people or a society or in our culture, those systems can be helpful or they can be highly unjust and problematic. It is the case that there are plenty of relational systems out there that do ill to people. And so I remember my first awareness, real visceral awareness of this, was when I was in college and there was a student who did not fit in well with the atmosphere of this conservative religious college. And she was not a very good academic. And she was struggling and she had been put on probation. And then she was seen out past curfew in a coffee shop trying to study for a test and was brought up on a sort of student court trial. Now, nobody asked questions about the norm of what a good student at this school looked like. Nobody took acknowledgement of the fact that she had lost track of time because she was trying to work on her academic scores. And no one bothered to ask about the popular student who really fit in and why that popular student was out after curfew to notice this student. Right? Now, I shouldn't say nobody brought it up because, of course, I did because, you know, me, right? So I brought this up. I raised this question, and it was not well received, as you can imagine, right? And there was not a willingness to look beyond the relational system that cast particular people as at the center of that school's life, to such a degree that it was willing to throw out a student who didn't fit. That's a relational system that is unjust. And there are plenty of those out there. This Advent, I have chosen this icon over by the podium for the Advent season. It is made by our friends at Bridge Building Images. Some of their icons are very creative, and some of them I like, and some of them I don't, like any other artist. Some things we like, some things we don't. In this particular icon, which I like, Christ is painted as a Maasai warrior. And he's got his walking stick, and he's crouching down in the position that a warrior would crouch to notice footprints on the ground and to track the animal that's being hunted. And at his feet is a scroll. It's the scroll from the book of Revelation with seven seals on it. The icon is one of Christ as tracker of souls. And I would submit to you that part of what we're going to hear in Advent are all of these readings about the end of the world and the end of time. These apocalyptic readings will appear from time to time in the Advent season. And there's so many people out there in the world who will tell you this is all about how the world's going to end and there's going to be a rapture and this predicts helicopters and that predicts wars and blah, 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 blah. All of it is I disagree with. I almost said something worse, but I disagree with all of it. Instead, what I want to invite you to think about is this image of Christ as tracker of souls. And what I want you to think about is that all of those images that we will hear in Advent about the end of time and things falling apart and being broken are images of God's willingness to cut right through all of our unjust systems. That Christ doesn't care that that's how we do it. Christ doesn't care that this is the way the in crowd behaves. Christ doesn't care that you can't fight City Hall. That was a thing I heard as a kid that always confused me. Christ cuts through all of those, not simply because Christ likes to tear things up, but he cuts through them to get to all the souls and to keep us from leaving people out. That is the nature of Christ. That part of what Christ does is challenge our relational systems when those systems are unjust and unfair. And he challenges them precisely because in Christ's eyes, there are no throwaway people and all souls are tracked by him. Think about the reading from 1 Kings. Oh, this reading from 1 Kings. Elijah and Elisha, I love their stories anyway, but this reading in particular is fascinating because the way that we interpret this reading comes right out of our own unjust systems. The story starts with God telling Elijah, "Go to Zarephath because I've told a widow there to feed you." And he says, "Okay, I'll go." And Zarephath is closer to the people who are trying to kill him. This is not a real popular journey, I'm sure, for Elijah. But he goes, and he gets to the city gate, and he sees a woman, and he asks her to bring him some water. She's willing to do that. And then he asks her to feed him. Now, pay close attention. God has told Elijah, "I told a widow there to feed you." Now, we read this story, and we assume she doesn't know she's supposed to feed the prophet until Elijah shows up and tells her. But that's not what the story says. The story says, "I have told a widow there to feed you." She pushes back. She says to God, "Hey, God, you know, there's this system that says that women are supposed to be passive and take care of the men. But me and my kid are dying, and in my opinion, that takes first priority." And so she tells Elijah, "Look, I'll bring you some water, but I'm going. I got a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil. That's all we have. I'm going to make bread. My kid and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die because we don't have any food." And then the other thing that happens is Elijah pushes God too. God has told Elijah, "Go to Zarephath because I've told a widow there to feed you." God didn't say anything. We have no record of God saying anything about keeping the meal going and keeping the oil going until it rains. Elijah says that. Elijah says, "Go ahead, go make a little cake for me and for you and your son, and God will not let the meal end or the oil fail until there's rain on the earth." And God responds positively to the push against the patriarchal system that Elijah and the widow together make. So often, all the time I grew up, every time I heard this story, the widow didn't know, Elijah filled her in, God secretly whispered in Elijah's ear, "Tell her I'll keep the food, the meal, and the oil going," none of which is in the text. And the text, interpreted that way, grows right out of it's men who have all the agency and women have none. And we interpret the text that way. That's the way it was interpreted my whole life. But it's not what the text says. That's the power of the negative system. The same thing happens when we listen to the gospel today. The gospel is a powerful story, and it starts out with Jesus critiquing the system of classism that we as human beings make. People who have more means, more money, more resources, we consider those people to be more important. And Jesus says, you know what? God doesn't. And one of the things that happens when we read this story, again, I heard this my whole childhood. Growing up in the church, I heard preachers preach on this, and every single time they preached on it, they said the woman waited till all the important people were out of the way, and then she very meekly went and put her 2 copper coins in the treasury box. There's nothing in the text that says that. Nothing. There's no reason to interpret that story that way. It may be that she walked proudly up to that box because it didn't matter what other people was giving. She was giving her all because of her faith in the Lord, the God of Israel. And Jesus could have saw her do that and responded to it. We import our own unjust system of classism, of giving value to the rich people and the important, calling them the important people, when we interpret the story that way. The system itself makes us interpret the story in a way that is not in the text. Systems do that. We are most often unconscious about the systems that affect us. So this Advent season, what I want you to understand is that Christ will not be stopped. Christ tracks every soul. Christ will not be stopped by our systems. Christ will not be stopped by who our society values. Christ will not be stopped by what commercials on TV tell you is important. Christ will not be stopped by the materialism of the Christmas culture. Christ will not be stopped by our judgments about who should have power and who shouldn't. Christ will not be stopped by the patriarchy. Christ will not be stopped by the classism of this country. Christ will not be stopped because he is the tracker of souls. And what he invites us to do is participate in that work. To join him in going out and reaching everyone. And sometimes that even means challenging unjust systems and being unpopular. Because what we're enrolled in is not yet another of the typical human system pattern of relating. Instead, we're enrolled in the ministry of Christ, the tracker of souls.